Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. My guest this evening is Gary Lanzmann from the Royal Wine Corporation. Good evening, Gary. How are you?
Good evening, Chaim. I am fabulous. Thank you very much.
We are getting ready for the Kosher Food and Wine experience in a few more weeks. Roughly, actually, almost exactly a month from now. And since last year, the Royal Wine Corporation has introduced quite a few new wines to the American market. Care to tell us about them?
Oh, you're kidding, right? I didn't even know the Kosher Food and Wine Experience is coming up. I better go get my tickets. No, I'm just kidding. I've been furiously working on this year's event, trying to bring new and exciting things. Trying to get new wines that we're expecting in time for the show, trying to recruit new top-of-the-line restaurants and chefs, very excited about some of the returning favorites, really looking forward to some new favorites that are coming in. Some of the wines in the last year is what you asked about. You know what, that's such a great question. I wish I would have prepped. I would have made a list. What I actually prepared a little bit for were some of the wines that we hope to introduce at this year's event. There's
okay.
a new winery coming online called Pacifica with what's going to be known as Evans Collection. The Evans Collection from Pacifica Winery is going to be the first all-kosher winery in the Pacific Northwest, and we're really excited about that project. It's a project that's been kind of co-sponsored by the Herzog family and Royal Wine Corp, in addition to Philip Jones. Philip Jones is the proprietor and winemaker at Goose Bay Wines in New Zealand. And it's a pretty cool project because New Zealand has their wine harvest during the Southern Hemisphere. So Phil gets to stay nice and busy in beautiful New Zealand in what are our winter months, but his summer months, handling the harvest there. And just as things are getting cold in New Zealand, he comes out to the beautiful Pacific Northwest, to Washington State, where he brings in some grapes from the famed Willamette Valley in Oregon. And there's going to be a Willamette Valley, an Oregon Willamette Valley Pinot Noir that we're very, very excited about. And there's also going to be a Washington Meritage. Meritage is another way of saying it's how some Americans like to refer to Bordeaux blends. And the Washington State Meritage has Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, I believe it's Cab Franc, and Malbec in it, actually. So that should be a
Malbec.
Very
good blend. You mean Malbec is capable of growing somewhere other than Argentina and taste at least as good?
Believe it or not, there's Malbec coming in from everywhere. Now, it's hard to compete with the Fletches de los Andes, the gorgeous, gorgeous Malbec that we get out of
right.
Argentina. But Washington State has been known to put together some beautiful Malbec, some great Merlots. Cabernet Franc out of Washington State is interesting, and even Cabernet Sauvignon, the king of red grapes, produces somewhat unique wines when it comes out of Washington State. Washington State, which is, you know, just north of Oregon, which is just north of Northern California, which is where the famed Napa Valley is from. But every time you move to a different place, you get a slightly different climate and slightly different terroir, as we like to call it in the wine business, and it really does influence the character of the wine.
So if I were to ask you what one of the Pacifica wines tastes like, for example, their Cabernet Sauvignon, how would you describe it?
Well, actually, there's only two wines coming out of Pacifica. One of them, as I think I mentioned, maybe I was unclear, I apologize, was the Meritage. The Meritage is a blend.
Okay.
It's got the Cabernet
All
in
right.
it, the Merlot in it, the Malbec in it. And so that's a blended wine. It's like a Bordeaux blend. And in the U.S., I think it was the term Meritage. I'm not actually sure where it came from, but it's been embraced in the U.S. market for blends, basically Bordeaux blends, rather than calling it a Bordeaux blend, and a Bordeaux, of course, of the famed
Bordeaux is a appellation contrôlée, so obviously they can't call it Bordeaux.
Exactly, so they came up with the Meritage. So right now there's being two wines released from Pacifica, and you know what, you ask what it tastes like, I'm going to say come on down to KFWE and you'll have a chance to taste it for yourself.
I guess I'll have no choice.
You have no choice, Chaim. I'm holding you to it.
That's right. Absolutely. I will be there. All the king's horses won't keep me away.
Good. And you're going to have to taste it on tape or something. So for all the listeners that aren't able to make it into New York City on February 13th.
Well, as a matter of fact, I would very much like to do a show live from there, but I need to talk to you about that.
Well, we can talk about that offline. We don't need to bore all the listeners.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Okay, besides Pacifica, what other things will be introduced?
Well, as long as we're on the west coast of the United States, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the new single vineyard wine from that Herzog is releasing. Herzog is going to be releasing a new Mount Veeder wine. Mount Veeder is an appellation. It's a region within the Napa Valley, and there's a single vineyard wine from the Mount Veeder, and we're pretty excited about that. You know, a lot of people know the Baron Herzog wines, and of course the Herzog reserves have been a staple on many a Shabbat table over the years. I remember many years ago hearing people argue about which was better, the Alexander Valley or the Napa Valley. But in recent years, Herzog's really, as wine lovers' palates have become more and more sophisticated, they've really taken the premium level wines to a new level, and they've introduced single vineyard wines from Oak Knoll, Trestle Glen, and the latest one is going to be this Mount Veeder, and so I'm pretty excited. I haven't even had a chance to try this wine yet. I think it's just recently been bottled, and I think it's comfortably resting in California, getting ready to make its way over so that we have it in New York in time for the show.
Okay. Anything else new from the United States before we go to other regions?
Yeah, you know what? Our good friends at Covenant actually recently came out with a Sauvignon Blanc. I think this probably goes back about 3-4 months that they released a Sauvignon Blanc. They released that under their Red Sea label. And I had a really spectacular opportunity. I was visiting my sister who lives out on the West Coast, and I got to get together with the winemaker and drink some Sauvignon Blanc with him, and it was really beautiful. It was a warm summer day, and there's nothing like a crisp, refreshing Sauvignon Blanc on a warm summer day.
That's absolutely true.
So that was a real treat. I'm sure there's others that I'm forgetting about, but I think that covers some of the new stuff that's come in this country. You know, one of the other wines that I'm really, really excited about at KFWE, and I wish that there were more of it. You know, the things that we want most of, I think, are the ones that are hardest to get. There's a brand new wine from the Cave. I mean, I think a lot of people should be familiar with the Cave winery.
Amara from Binyamina.
Amara, exactly. Well, yeah, it's made by Binyamina now, but Binyamina really likes to talk about it as a standalone winery because they really do their own.
First of all, it's not aged together with the other wines. It's actually aged in a historic cave anyway.
Exactly. You're 100% correct. That's true. And it is made, I believe, in conjunction with Binyamina. I think that the Cave is owned by Binyamina now, but it's its own entity. It's a separate entity, just as Carmel has Yatir, which is located in a different location and has its own winemaker and is really its own entity. You know, we see other little boutique operations for larger wineries coming online. 1848 Winery is a brand new winery that's come out with 2 Cabernets, I believe a reserve and a special reserve. Those are relatively new. That's actually an arm of Yekveit Zion, the famed Zion winery that's been around since 1848, which is how the name of their boutique arm, 1848, got its name. So, you know, the Cave is different, and this new wine coming in from the Cave that I'm really, really excited about. I've heard some people say some spectacular things, that it could be the next best, greatest wine coming out of Israel, and that's a brand new Old Vines Cave. It's going to be a pretty expensive wine. It's going to be one of those that I think not too many of us, myself included on my wine industry salary, unfortunately, not too many of us are going to be able to go into the store and buy it, but I think that's what makes one of the many things that makes KFWE so special is that we get to taste
wine that
otherwise
we might
never
taste.
That
you actually get to taste it over there. Right.
You got it. So the new Old Vines Cave, the 2007 vintage, which is the inaugural vintage of the Old Vines Cave, I believe it's probably going to retail somewhere in the $150 range, give or take, maybe a couple bucks more, a couple bucks less. Yeah, you know, for those of us that do these labors of love, you know, radio shows, kosher scene, working in the wine industry, we probably can't afford such special bottles. But we can all treat ourselves and feel like kings, at least for one night at KFWE, and try foods from some spectacular restaurants, try some super-duper premium high-end wines. And this is one of those that I definitely recommend As long as it's there, people should definitely go seek it out.
Okay. Anything new coming in from Europe, or will there be some of the same classics?
No, there's all kinds of new wines. There, Ovadia is coming out with a new wine. The Ovadia line is a relatively new line. It's kind of an offshoot of Bartonura. But what it is, you know, Italy, of course, is one of the classic wine regions, or what's known as an old wine region. And I think that as Israel has really kind of come into the scene and really pushed kosher wines to a new level, it's been a beautiful thing that we've seen producers from all over the world really respond to that call, respond to that demand for higher end wines. And what the Ovadia line really is it's Bartonura's answer to let's put out a higher end wine. Let's put out wines that we can really be proud of that show a great demonstration of what Italian wineries can produce. And the Ovadia line has some of the classics. They've had the Barolo for several years. They've had a Chianti. Now the new Chianti I happen to love. There's a Merlino di Scanzano that's great. There's a Rosso, I believe it's a Rosso Toscano that's also good, and there's a bunch of Italian wines that I'm pretty excited about.
The Rosso Toscano I've seen, and it's not that expensive.
Dolcetto di Alba, I know, is another one of the new ones in the Ovadia line. So, so Italy's really introduced some new wines in recent years, and as someone who, when I was first really getting into wine, I love just, randomly sipping a bottle of red wine, a nice glass of red from just about anywhere, nice, big, full-bodied, fruity red wine. But as I've become a slave to the grind and working hard in this business, I found that I really do mostly enjoy red wines together with food. And, the Italians do say wine is made to be enjoyed with food, and I find that some
Absolutely.
Of these Italian-made wines have a nice acidity to them. They oftentimes have a slightly lower alcohol, and that makes them really, really compatible with foods. And I really am enjoying a lot of wines that are made in that style. And if there's people out there who find there's something that we call palate fatigue, sometimes when you have these really big Cabernets and wines that tip the scale at 14, 14.5, 15% alcohol, that it almost makes their palate tired. And you know what? It goes straight to your head. Sometimes if you could seek out some wines, some gems from the old world, places such as France and Italy, and if you can find some of these wines that come in at 11.5%, 12%, it's amazing, but it really does make a big difference, especially when it has a slightly less extracted fruit and it's got a really nice acidity to it, how it pairs beautifully with food, and you don't necessarily get super tipsy right off that first sip, so you can really enjoy a full glass, maybe even two.
Anything new from any French producers?
We do have a new wine coming in from France. I believe it's Merlot based. It might even be 100% Merlot. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous label. And of course, I left my office about half an hour ago, so I'm not sitting in front of it. So I don't have the name of the wine in front of me. I'll do a quick peek on my phone as long as we're talking about it a little bit. But that's one of the wines that we're really excited about coming out of France. And there was a wine that came in for the last year's KFWE was from Spain, actually, from Capsanis. Capsanis released their first La Flor del Flor, a super premium wine made from old vine Garnacha. Garnacha, also known in this country as Grenache.
Grenache,
exactly. So the new vintage of that's going to be coming out. That was a wine that it was almost experimental at first. He wasn't sure whether the kosher consumer would really embrace the super premium wine, and so he made it on a pretty small amount. And I guess he's only able to make a small amount because of the old vines. But that was made from the 2007 vintage, and that was only released last year for the first time, and it was drinking beautifully. And we sold out of that wine in just a few short months. The next vintage of the La Flor is I've rushed it to market, and I would encourage anyone who buys it to really let it rest for a few months. I think it'll really benefit from some time, a little bit of bottle age, as we call it. Just let it age in its bottle a little bit, and it should really benefit from that. And now I say that having not even tasted the wine, because it hasn't arrived yet, and I'm hoping that it's going to arrive in time. But that's the new vintage of the La Flor del Flor that I hope is going to be coming in. LV Winery. LV Winery has such a diverse collection. LV Winery from Spain has such a diverse collection of wines. He's got a couple of new Riojas that are very exciting. He gives names to his Riojas. There's Rioja has some very strict rules into how you can produce it, whether it's a reserva and a special, I believe it's called, and then their basic entry level, which of course now that's escaping me as well. But it basically dictates how long it has to be aged in the bottle, how long it has to be aged in the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the Riojas from Elvi are Mati and Jorenza, are some of the names that he's given it. I do know that he's also coming out with a whole bunch of new wines, and those are some other wines that I don't want to get into too many details about it now, because I don't want to make other people as excited about these wines as I am, only to find out that we're not going to get them in time. But in addition to planning this event, I'm also pushing the producers to get their wines on the water and get them into us as quickly as they can, so we can introduce all kinds of new and exciting stuff to all the people at KFWE.
Very good. Now let's talk a little bit about some of the restaurants that will be at KFWE.
There's going to be restaurants at KFWE? You're kidding. I'm teasing, Chaim. It's,
how else am I going to be
really
able
excited
to pair the wine with the food? Come on.
You said it. Well, this is actually going to be the sixth year that we're putting on the Kosher Food and Wine Experience. And for the first 3 years, we went ahead and we brought in some terrific caterers who put out just a gourmet spread of food. And it was really, really special. But about 2 years ago, I guess it was the 2010 version of the Kosher Food and Wine Experience, where we decided,
mm-hmm.
you know what? Why don't we reach out to some of our customers? You know, we sell some fabulous wines to a lot of restaurants, and I was just talking earlier about how the Italians talk about how wine is made to be enjoyed with food, and I think you hit it on the nose when you said, how am I going to pair my wonderful wines with food if there's no restaurants? So we did. We went ahead and we reached out to some of the restaurants, and of course many of them responded that they'd be honored to participate, and we were, of course, really thrilled to have them participate with us. And I think that it further enhanced the event. You know, having a caterer who put out a beautiful spread was really terrific, and it made for a great event. But I think that we've really stepped it up a notch and taken it to the next level by inviting some of these restaurants. And I should actually say not just restaurants, but, you know, anyone that we believe is putting out just tremendous foods. And we try and come up with a nice diverse selection of food purveyors, as I guess I call them, or people within the food business. You know, we've got some amazing caterers. There's a new caterer coming on board this year, in addition to what was one of the favorites last year. Gemstone Catering and Gottschalk was a favorite last year. This year we've added Silverleaf.
Right.
And I'm not familiar with Silverleaf, but I've heard some wonderful things, and so I'm really looking forward to their being there. Pomegranate, obviously, has always been a really big attraction, and
right.
They find that that the show has really been such a great marketing tool for them, that they're really excited to share some of the different takeout food that they have to offer, and their presence at KFWE seems to get bigger and bigger every year. You know, a restaurant
mm-hmm.
that I've come to love is located in Teaneck, and I've been begging him to come for a couple years, and this year he said, Gary, how can I not come? I got to come. It's ETC Steakhouse. You know, he does a great job.
Warshaw, of course.
Yeah, he won the competition at Kosher Fest.
That's right, I was one of the judges.
Yeah, so one of the chefs that he beat, and a chef that I have a ton of admiration for, is Moshe Wendel, and I'm pretty excited that
right.
Friday's restaurant is going to be joining us again.
He's going to be there. Excellent, because
yeah,
it's also one of my favorite restaurants. Moshe Wendel.
I hope he'll be there.
Yes.
I know he really does amazing stuff. I mean, some of these
absolutely.
Chefs really
he's
are
extremely creative,
cuisine.
Extremely imaginative.
You got it. These are guys that are really taking it to the next level. You know, I'm hoping for the day that Chef Todd Aaron of our restaurant Tierra Sur out in California decides to come
mm-hmm.
in and do something for this event. But in the meantime, if you want to try Chef Todd's foods, you're going to have to go out to L.A. Where the Herzog Wine Cellars actually is going to be putting on their.
As a matter of fact, I hear so much about Tierra Sur, the restaurant over there. I'm going to have to go out to L.A. I mean, I have no choice.
Anyone who can't make it onto the East Coast on Monday night, February 13th, really do need to go check out on the West Coast. What they've done for the first 4 years, I believe this is their fifth year, 4 years, they call it their IFWF, their International Food and Wine Festival. And for many, many years, Chef Todd, out of his kitchen in Tierra Sur, he put out just an incredible, incredible spread of food for people. And I think that there are at least as many people who've been going to that event for the food as they do for the wine. And they really have outgrown the winery. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous facility, and I, of course, encourage everyone to go out there and visit. But they decided, you know what, we've kind of been limiting it by asking people, one, to come up to Oxnard, and two, because, you know, they basically have sold out every year, and they're doing their best to squeeze as many people in there as possible. But I think it was last year, it almost became difficult. People said, Gary, you know, this event is really, really incredible, but there were really long lines, and there was a lot of squeezing going on. It was so packed. So what they did was they actually moved the event this year to Los Angeles to make it more easily accessible to where a lot of the food and wine aficionados live, and also to enable them to include more people at the event. Now, I did have someone say to me, no, Gary, no, don't take it away from Tierra, sir. And I assured them that Chef Todd will be doing all the food preparations. I know I was just in touch with the maitre d' over at Tierra, sir, to make sure that I got a reservation for myself and my wife when we go out there. And he said to me, I said, so you're excited? The event's not going to be in the winery this year. You don't have to work so hard. He said, are you kidding me? All the food prep that we're going to be doing here and then bringing it down from Oxnard into L.A., he said, it's going to be twice as much work. So rest assured, the good folks over at Tierra Sur and at the Herzog Wine Cellars are going to be working hard so that everyone has more of Chef Todd Aaron's delectable cuisine coming in from Tierra Sur.
So how do we get tickets for both events?
How do you get tickets?
Those of us who are going to be attending the event here and those who are going
good
to be attending
point, yes.
the event
well, if you're
in L.A.
If you're attending the event here in New York, you can find our website at kfwe2012.com. It hasn't fully been updated with the vendors. Your listeners tonight have gotten a nice sneak preview of some of the wines and wineries in addition to some of the food and restaurants that are going to be there this year. I do need to update the wineries and the restaurants that are going to be there. I plan on working on that over the weekend. We're getting our final commitments from the wineries and restaurants over the course of the next 24 to 48 hours. And if you want to go on the West Coast, if you're based out of anywhere in California or even in the vicinity, I certainly recommend that you check it out. And the best way to do that is to go through the Herzog Wine Cellars website. So it's herzogwinecellars.com. And I believe if you click on shop, that'll take you to a page where they'll show you the 2012 IFWF, International Food and Wine Festival. And there you can buy your tickets as well for that amazing event.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit about you. How did you, Gary Lanzmann, come to wine? Why wine?
Are you sure, Chaim? I don't want to bore your listeners. Come on, I'm such a boring guy. They don't want to know anything about me.
Nah, so far you sounded great, and I am sure this will be a great story, too.
Yeah, I can sound great when I talk about wine, but when I talk about myself, I'm going to bore people. No, the boring story, Bikitsur, as they say, in a nutshell, was... I've got a business degree, and I was a former finance guy seeking out that labor of love, and I ended up falling into the restaurant.
Just like Jay Buxbaum.
Yeah, you said it. So I was a finance guy with an MBA and all set to make my millions on Wall Street, and I said, you know what, this stuff, it isn't making me happy, and I fell into the restaurant business. I had a friend in the restaurant business who was looking for a little bit of help, and I said, you know, this seems a little bit more up my alley, and the restaurant business was definitely a love-hate relationship for me. It was a really, really tough business, and as much as I loved the interactivity with a lot of the customers, don't tell any of my former customers, but I also hated some of it. They were really tough, and the hours are demanding, and thank God for Shabbat Kodesh. If not for Shabbos, I felt like I lived in the restaurant. But it was my time at the restaurant that I really actually fell in love with wine, and a few months after getting out of the restaurant business, my brother, who lives in Israel, was getting married, and I said, you know what, maybe it's time for me to start at the bottom. And while I was in Israel for my brother's wedding, I went around to a bunch of different wineries, and I said, yalla, bon avod, you know, let's get to work, put me to work. And they said, no, we don't have so much money, we don't really hire people. I said, ani mukhan lavod bechinam. And they said, Chinam, for free? You want to work for free? And they said, yeah.
Then you suddenly got a million offers, right?
You said it. So I got the offers, and I began by working at some boutique wineries in Israel. And from Israel, I absolutely fell in love, and I went over to Napa Valley, and I did what they call a little winter internship in Napa Valley. And I really got to learn the winery from the wine business, I guess, on the production end, from the bottom up. Really learned about making wines. My first week on the job, I planted vineyards, And then they had me cleaning barrels and washing floors, but I really did get to harvest fruit and work on wine and take chemical measurements, and I really learned a lot about the production of wine, and I got to work with some amazing winemakers both in Israel and in Napa Valley. And then I came back to New York and I began writing about wine and doing everything that I could to really, you know, promote. For me, one of the big things about being in this business is to combine two passions, wine and Israel, and I've tried to do everything that I can to really promote Israeli wines.
Very nice.
The story of Gary Landsman is really the story of how can I further propel Israeli wines into the wine-consuming public's eyes.
So I am sure you also must have some interesting stories that happened to you during this journey into the wine business. Or through the wine business.
Well, there's lots of good stories, but I'm not sure that they're all G-rated. No, I'm kidding. You know, rather than sharing stories, I think one of the most important lessons that I got was actually when I was getting ready to leave the Napa Valley and I was heading back to New York. I had sublet my apartment in New York for about 10 months, and I'd been away from my friends and family, and I felt a little bit of pressure. I said, you know, there's going to be these big expectations. You know, oh, Gary, you traveled the world and you worked at wineries, and now you've got to be a wine expert. And after only 10 months in the business, I didn't really feel like an expert. You know, it's funny. I speak to so many people today who tell me, oh, I don't know much about wine. And that's exactly how I felt at the time was, you know, oh, I don't know much about wine. And I went ahead and I went to this winemaker. She's a female winemaker. And don't tell my wife that I said this, but I think that women might have better palates than men. And this woman actually made a wine that was scored 100 points by Robert Parker, a perfect, perfect score.
Wow.
Never attained by any kosher wine, but this is she made the wine called Screaming Eagle. And her name is Heidi Barrett. And I went over to Heidi, who made wines at this facility that I worked. And I said, Heidi, I'm going back to New York next week. You got to tell me the secret. I won't tell anyone here. It can be between me and you, but... How can I get my palate to be really good, you know, as good as yours or just really special in a short amount of time? And she looked at me and in her warmest smile, she said, Gary, you're a really sweet guy, but there are no shortcuts. The answer is taste, taste, taste. And that's basically what I did, was I took every opportunity to taste as much wine as I possibly could. And you know what? And I'm still training my palate, and I'm still learning about wine. And my message to people all over who know that they enjoy wine and have a sense as to what they enjoy, stop saying you don't know anything about wine. You know the most important thing about wine, and that's what you like. And you know what? If you don't know whether you like a wine, give it a try. You know, don't worry so much about the critics. Don't worry so much about the label. Don't worry so much about the price tag. Every opportunity that you have, whether it's KFWE, whether it's at your local wine store, if there's a tasting going on, go ahead, go on in, have a chat with whoever's pouring the wine, see if they can share any interesting tidbits with you, see if you can, you know, just get a sense of what wines it is that you like, and don't worry about not knowing a lot about wines. I think people do know a lot more than they think they know.
Okay, that is very, very good, very, very true. In fact, there is a video by John Cleese, who now owns a winery also in Napa Valley. And in it, basically, what he does is he invites a lot of celebrities to taste various wines from his own cellars and other wineries in the area, in all price ranges. And he starts by telling them that, look, you can listen to the experts, and you may or may not like what they tell you. It's not important. The important thing is what you like in wine. And basically, that's what you just said.
Yep, you said it. That's perfect.
Okay, and we're just about done. Thank you very, very much for being our guest. This has been very, very interesting, very educational,
and I can't wait to taste all those wines. A special thank you to the listeners. I hope I didn't bore them too much.
As a matter of fact, you didn't. You were a fantastic guest, and in fact, I got a couple of emails asking that you come back again soon so you can discuss more about wines, and I'd like to do that after the show is over so we can discuss some of the new wines that I will hopefully taste over there.
Now you're really putting me on the spot, huh? Of course, no problem.
Thank you.
It would be my pleasure. Sounds great.
Thank you very, very much, Gary. Good night.
Thank you, Clem. Thank you.
And good night to one and all. Come back and listen to us next Wednesday here at 8 o'clock at blacktalkradio.com/kosherscene. Thank you, and good night, ladies and gentlemen.